I had a math test that ran until 7:20. So, but I finished that up, and here I am. So, like it or not, I'm in front of you now, so you get to listen to me. I want you to use your imaginations for just a second. I want you to think that you're outside working in your yard, and you've been working in your yard all day, and it's not a day like today, but it's sunny, it's hot, and it's dry, and you've been working for hours. You went out right after breakfast, and you just kept going, and you didn't even go inside for lunch, and it's about 2 o'clock, and you are so thirsty, and you go inside and find out that the water has stopped working. You can't get a drink of water. Or for those of you that have been on the missions trip, you've been working outside all day, and John Bloom just drank out of your water bottle, and you just know you can't take another sip. And you're just really, really thirsty. Your mouth is dry. The heat's bearing down on you, and you just want a little bit of water. Now, while you're imagining that, your mouth is dry, I want you to watch these next couple videos. Hopefully they will work. Not positive. Oh, no internet connection. Of course, that's what's happening. Can I see your phone? It's been one of those days all day today, I promise. Technology is an amazing thing when it works. Otherwise, it just ends up with people standing up in front of people looking kind of dumb. Connect, connect, connect. Now let's try this again. Now that you've forgotten what you were imagining. Well, I still think it's not going to work, which is highly unfortunate. But so be it, I suppose. Nope. All right. Well, what you were going to watch was just slightly torturous anyway, I suppose. So you don't have to go through it. It was a couple of nice videos of Coke glasses filling up, nice and slow, with the nice sound effects and crackling Coca-Cola over ice filling to the top. And had it culminated with a story in your imagination, hopefully your mouth would have been dry. But you'll have to use a little extra imagination to imagine that with me today. But because they're not going to work. But I was thinking about thirsty. And I was planning to use these videos to get this to apply to you a little bit better. Maybe we'll try again later. But some of you I know, all of you, have been thirsty at some point in your life. You've wanted something to drink. You've wanted some water. We need water. It's part of the things that we need. And thinking about water, I think often about a verse I memorized a long time ago while I was up a mountaintop. And it's Psalm 63 and verse 1. And it says this, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David had a good attitude. He wanted the Lord. He thirsted for the Lord. And the part that I was thinking about here is the land where no water is. The land where no water is. And I feel like that seems to be my life on a daily basis. When I go to work, when I go to school, when I go out and do my day-to-day routine, there's a lot of land where there is no water. There's a lot of places that we go where we're not getting water coming in. We're in this world today, we're in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And the water that we're talking about is the water that's mentioned in John chapter 4. You can turn over there with me. John chapter 4, we see Jesus in a similar situation to that which I described to you earlier. He'd been walking for a good bit of the day, and he was thirsty. He was ready for some water. And we'll start reading in verse 1 of John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto her, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. A story that's very familiar to us all. Jesus at the well, and he explains here, I think in Scripture better than I can, the analogy of the living water. The water that is everlasting life, that can spring up from within a believer. A thirst that can forever be quenched. You can never be separated from the living water. Jesus is that living water that he's willing to give to each and every person that comes and asks of him. And we can turn over to John 7, 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed of him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We walk around in a land, in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. But we have been set apart, and we've been given that water to spring up from within us, the well of everlasting life, so that we can go out and tell other people how they can no longer be thirsty. I think about if I was outside working and I came inside and the water had been turned off, but my wife had prepared me a glass of water, she would definitely give it to me instead of keeping it for herself. She would share it with me, at least I would hope so. And I think now we walk around in a land where there is no water, a dry and thirsty land, and there's people around us that are thirsty and they need this water. They need this water that we are a well of, this everlasting life, to spread this. And often, I walk around in a land where no water is, and I don't put any water out. I have this fresh, clean water. I have what these people need. I have the gospel. I have Jesus Christ living inside of me, and I can share it with them, but often I don't. That was something that I was thinking about. So, we have that analogy in our minds now of the living water, of the area that we have around us and the gift that's given to us of this living water that can never, ever be taken away. And I want to look at one or a couple of more verses later on in John. John chapter 19. Here, we have Jesus. And he's on the cross. And there's several things that he has said while he was on the cross. There's seven sayings that we have. In Luke 23:34, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Luke 23:43, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise," speaking to the thief beside of him. In John 19:26-27, he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." In Matthew and in Mark, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In John 19:28, he says, "I thirst." In John 19:30, he says, "It is finished." And in Luke 23:46, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But the one that I've been thinking about is in John 19:28, and we're going to read that verse. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst." Now, I think that there are two elements of this that we can look at. The first is obviously that of the physical. Jesus was a man. He had not had any water. He had gone through a lot that day, and he was up on the cross, and no doubt he was thirsty in the physical sense. But I was thinking about another thirst that perhaps Jesus was experiencing at this time. If we look at the context, he said, potentially right before that, it's not actually in John, but he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he says, "I thirst." Because Jesus no longer had the living water. At that point, he was separated from that. He was separated from the well of living water, and he was thirsty. And I could do nothing but worship when I thought about this and thought that we're all either separated from that living water or there's no way we can be separated from it. We've never had it or we're never getting away from it. We're in His hand and He's given it to us. But Jesus had that. He was in fellowship with the Father and it was torn away. And He said, "I thirst." He suffered physically and He suffered spiritually for you and for I. He was thirsty so that we could be filled. He was thirsty so we could be filled. And now if I was Joseph, I would sing you a song, but I'm not. And so we'll see if this one will work.
One day I came to Him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, "I thirst," yet He made the rivers. He said, "I thirst," yet He made the sea. Said the King of the ages, in His great thirst, He brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne above, and like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet He made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. Said the King of the ages, in His great thirst, He brought water to me.
Jonathan,
He said, I thirst, yes. Yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In His great thirst, He brought water to me. In His great thirst, He brought water to me.
Song, I thought, I found that, and it put a lot of things I thought in perspective. So I just want you to hopefully leave here tonight with an attitude of worship, thinking about the fact that the One who created the seas and created the waters, who created the rivers, physically thirst for you and for me. And the One who was the well of living water was separated from that for you and for me. And in His thirst, He brought water to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day that You've given us. And Lord, I thank You for letting us look into Your Word. And most of all, Lord, I thank You that You've given us living water, that You've given us Your Spirit. And Lord, as we go into a dry and thirsty land where no water is, I pray that we would shed it, share it, that we would spread it. Lord, thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You are, and thank You for thirsting to bring water to me. In Your Son's name, amen.